Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement, to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring Jewels to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio, and follow me at journeyofasapphire.com. My special guest today is Dr. Terry Levine, who began her work as a doctor of chiropractic, specializing in neuroscience and biomechanics. She later shifted to nonviolent communication, NVC, conflict resolution, and relational dynamics. The founder of Back to Life Wellness Center, where strategies help individuals, couples, and organizations to develop healthier, more effective ways to connect and resolve conflict. At last, I want to say thank you again, Doctor, and for giving me this interview chance, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. I love talking about my work and the possibilities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. You are a very inspiring person. But before we get into everything, how is the weather over there? Is it like California? Because out here in the Bay, it's all over the place. It's a little bipolar.
It's been a little bit all over the place. We had a very cold, long, dry winter, and spring is here. Then we had 86 degrees, and now it's in the 60s, and we're going to get a thunderstorm. So,
oh, really? Where are you located?
I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the east coast of the U.S., and it's kind of been all over the place, but as a gardener, I appreciate the rain and the sun.
Both. So true. So true. So true. Okay, I have a bunch of juicy questions. I did my research about you and everything. So, and we do similar work. That made it more interesting for me. So I'm glad to have you on the show once again, as stated. So getting right to it, Doctor. You said that your work is rooted in the belief that reconnecting with natural world fosters personal and collective well-being. So can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Well, I guess the way that I might say it, hearing that sentence, is that humans are part of the natural world. And I think that, again, this is a very high level place to start our conversation, but that
so true.
When we grow up without a deep sense of where we belong, right? I'm in the city, and we have a lot of asphalt, and in Philadelphia we don't have a lot of trees, and so people who are growing up here, not really connected to the rhythms of nature and the awe and the wonder of what that is, and that we are all a part of it. I think it really makes for people to struggle, like, to see their own beauty, to see their own gifts that they can offer the world, to know that they're part of something larger than themselves. And I do think that that's a loss, and often it creates a distortion in wanting to relate well to others, to see the communion and the sacredness of all we are together.
That's true. That is true. Thank you for answering that. What inspired you to become a leader in holistic wellness and conscious communication? I found that to be very interesting, because you have really challenged yourself in a lot of different subjects and areas of communication.
Well, I started out as a chiropractor. Now, I'm not the traditional cracking kind. My practice was all about transformation. And I was older when I started my practice and was pretty surprised at how not well most people were. Like young people, old people, they were just chronically not well. And so that quickly sent me into the search for what makes a person well. Long story short, it seemed to me to be community. You know, we need our tribe, we need to belong both to nature and to each other. And, you know, I think that's sort of the who we are. We're pack animals. And so that led me on to the journey of, why can't we talk to each other? Why do we not get along? How do we not get along? And what's required to get that back? And so I've studied a lot of different kinds of ways to communicate and to find each other, and you know, took lots of gems. And when I landed on the body of work called Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg, that was sort of where I, you know, parked my car. And yes, I have a history in biomechanics and evolutionary psychology, and so I can weave all that in because it will help people if they really understand why they get upset about, like, you're so upset about things that make no sense to be upset about. And that once we understand that more, get clear about our filters, it is much easier to communicate with each other, know ourselves, self-awareness, and then be able to share that in a way that is interesting to someone else, where they might want to know who I am versus, you know, yelling at them. So I think that was the short version of my long journey.
Okay. Do you have any personal experience yourself of going through some form of challenge or obstacle? Because I know when I established my foundation and my focus, because my background is
Oh, interesting.
hospitality management. So I'm good at what I do. And when I went through this experience with my daughter, and that experience led me to create and establish my foundation because there were resources during this time that was not in place. And then also, my journey became so horrific that I knew God chose me to establish my foundation to help others.
Oh, music. I could say that there's a few things, especially in hindsight, but you know, one thing was I've been in partnership with a remarkable man for 25, this is our 25th year, and you know, we were both sort of into health and all this kind of stuff, and when we got together, we really struggled to find ways. We liked each other, but we argued so much, and it led us on a journey of why. And so we did a lot of practicing about, you know, how did I contribute to the situation I'm in versus blaming somebody else? And, but ultimately, I think the biggest thing, if I'm really responding to your question, is with my mom. You know, we struggled. She was my favorite person as a baby. I mean, I just was in love with my mom, and my parents got divorced, and that was hard on her. And all kinds of things were hard on her. And so for, you know, 35 years, maybe 40 years, we struggled, me and my mom, to find a way to talk to each other, to be with each other, in a really respectful way. And, you know, it was hard. And so kind of towards it, you know, she got, had an injury and she really needed someone to care for her. And so that request, I have siblings, but that came on me and I decided to say yes. You know, I wasn't the kind of daughter who was gonna just not, you know, like I wasn't, I think it's okay sometimes for families not to talk, but that's not what we're up to, but it wasn't for me in my situation with her. And at the time that I was being asked, I thought, you know, here's an opportunity to redo a really rough time in my young life when I couldn't, I didn't have the skills. I did not have the skills to care for her in a way that she needed to be cared for. But, you know, in my 40s, I did. And I was going to do it. And when I tell you how grateful I am, because she didn't live, you know, she lived a couple of years since then. And so having the skills to find connection and care and respect in our relationship and to show up in a way that was helpful to her and meaningful to me, you know, to have that to fall back on is wonderful. And I, you know, I'm getting older and older, and the more I reflect, she is past, and the more I reflect on it, the more I just am so grateful that I took the time and learned the skills about how to redo that stuff. You know, it's never too late. And people often ask me, and you did not, but...
You don't you know that yet.
How do you do it if they're not into it? And you just do it. So if we get to it, you know, there's some helpful tips.
Great. Great. Sounds good. Because I have a lot of questions.
All right. I like to talk, so questions are good.
There's nothing wrong with that. Me too. Me too. How do you, in your opinion, how do you define effective communication and why is it crucial in the workplace? And because the workplace, as you know, the workplace is, that's the coup de grace. That's where
it's rough.
Everyone rough. Has different personalities, culture, beliefs. Woo!
I'm in agreement, Pamela, and you know, I've done some work in corporate and in, you know, just with smaller, or usually it's a smaller organization that calls on me. And, you know, one thing is that the way our whole culture and corporate culture work is that it's a power over situation, right? Somebody can fire somebody and somebody cannot fire the other person. And you know, so, and we need our jobs usually to make money. And so we think we have no choice. And so we're stuck in these ways. And I think one of the ways that we can get out of being stuck is to connect to when anybody, whether it's in companies or when they're talking, no matter what it is, if they're my boss or my not boss, there are needs. The reason they are asking me to do something or stop doing something is that they have what we would call in my work a need, right? So they might need support and they're asking me to do this project. And so, and their safety really depends on it, because if the project doesn't go well, they might get fired. And so it's really in the workplace and everywhere else, really sort of looking to why are they asking me to do something in the first place. It might not seem logical, you know, you just got to do it. They're my boss. And so, but the more that we can connect to what's important to them and why they might be upset with me about, like, they might be afraid that if this thing doesn't go well or I don't show up on time, all the reasons why we have conflict, it's important to sort of really try to deeply connect with what's important to another person. You mentioned a thing like different cultures. So asking questions like, huh, why is this important to you? What do you, you know, I said something, you seem to be upset. I'd like to understand why, because maybe I don't. Maybe it can't even occur to me why something I said is upsetting to you. So the first thing we want to do is learn to check in. Rather than like, hey, stop being upset with me, it's like, tell me why you're upset. Like, I really want to know. And so it's really finding that place of curiosity rather than blame and power over. If I have another minute, I'll say that some of the companies that I work with want to pretend that they're not. You know, well, we're collaborative here. And yes, in many ways, some companies are trying to get to a collaborative place, yet they're not willing to own the places where they are not. And if you're my boss and you're asking me to do something, and oh, just be honest, tell me, and it's like, there's no way I'm telling you what's on my mind. My kid's food. You know, you tell me it's safe, but my history shows that it is not. And so really trying to be able to figure that out over the next, I don't know how many years or decades it's going to take for us to learn how to communicate tenderly and with curiosity without looking to find fault that's what's necessary to really get along in the workplace and to trust that it can happen. And I don't think it's easy.
No, it's not. Because you got to just think about it. When you're in a conflict with someone, there's always someone wrong. It's not that no one is wrong, but conflict resolution is how to respond regardless of that person is wrong. Because you don't want to go off into where there's starting to be a fight, an argument, and this whole drawn out issue. So that part, I totally get it and I understand. So it's all about, like you stated, with the communication that we are presenting to one another when we're in a conflict and everything. And a lot of people, and especially us as girls, we're very emotional, so we just lash out, you know. And instead of really understanding, like, okay, I'm gonna take me for an example. I am much hated for the work that I do and my beliefs and what I advocate for. So I have a lot of people who say different, you know, mean things that I call as ignorant. In my book. So I don't respond, because what people don't realize, not responding gives you power. That's the best power you can have, because sometimes, even when I teach my girls, when they have like a conflict about anything, sometimes you just let it go, because that's when that person is going to take a step back and say, you know what, maybe I was a little like over the top, or, you know, doing too much. So, and then they can come back and then they can communicate. So one thing that I like, that the strategy that I use is teaching them how to respond to negative comments or conversations, to showing up in a positive stance. So I think that is what's best from what I can see pertaining to, you know, conflict resolution, you know. So that's good. Thank you so much for saying. You know, I went on your website and I also did my research about you. And Dr. Lewine, you empower people to navigate conflict. And that was very interesting. Express needs clearly and build lasting relationships. Can you give me an example of how you can turn a negative conflict into a positive outcome?
Yeah. Let me just give it some thought. So let's say I have a partner,
right?
And they said something last night that I didn't like, right? And we often start the conversation with how wrong they are. And again, and so they're just going to defend. If I say that, they're going to defend. I wasn't wrong. You know, of course I wanted to say that. There's a few ways, and I'm going to, that's the first one is really stop. If you stop trying to find fault and look for who's to blame, like, I think if you're looking to find fault and who's to blame, you will literally never resolve the conflict, even if you both agree at who's at fault. Cool. Because ultimately, there just is no, I know you said someone's right and someone's wrong. I have a different, I think nobody's ever right, nobody's ever wrong. There's what you do, and if I liked it or didn't like it. And so you get to be you. I get to say what it meant to me.
Right.
And then we get to decide, what are we going to do about it from a needs-based point of view? So shifting from being really attached to, you have to do this or I can't like you or I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not saying we don't do that. But first, what's important to me about what I want to be able to trust you? And if you're going to say one thing and do another, let's say dependability is really important to me. And, you know, you say you're going to come at 9 o'clock and all week you say, oh, I'm coming, you know, 9 o'clock. Oh, no, it's tomorrow. But you never communicate with me what got in the way of showing up when you said you would. Then it's up to me to sort of say, you know what? I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who does that. You let's say you're an artist and you don't have a clock and you just, time is nothing to you. Great. Maybe I'll be your friend and we can go to lunch, but you're not going to be my partner because it's really important to me. And I'm going to let you off the hook for being who I need you to be, but I'm also going to have let you off the hook for being this kind of my partner. We'll go to lunch once a month because you're funny and you're creative and I like you. I don't want to partner with you. So I'm shifting the idea that they're wrong and they should be dependable from, and they should show up how I want them to it's up to me. It's like I get to ask, and if they aren't able to or don't want to, then it's up to me to decide you're not my partner person, right? Or you're not my business partner. You say you know how to do the books, you're an, you know, an amazing accountant, and you're not. You know, it's like, never mind. Thank you very much. You just keep getting them wrong. Or just even for example, you know, like let's say someone has a new baby, and they're coming to work, and they can't manage to get on time. Well, they're opening my. I have a retail business and they're responsible for opening. It's like, maybe I can find a different position for you where 10 minutes here or there doesn't matter. But if you're opening my store, it matters. People need to know that 9 a.m. is when the store opens. And do you get what I'm saying? It's like, so we're really tracking, not on right or wrong, but really like what you're capable of and what I'm looking for.
Okay. That's a good point. Okay. I'm getting to the juicy part because I'm married, right? So in your opinion, how do you approach a complicated problem when communicating with your husband or significant other whom always feel that they're right?
They think they're right or they think I'm right?
No, they think that they're right.
So again, dropping out of right and wrong, it's like, you know, we always think we're right. I think my opinion is, you know, it's right for me. And maybe that's the fact that we believe, here's what they can do. It's like, I get that that's the conclusion you came to, and it's right for you to do it this way. I just have a different, you know, again, from the, like, let's say we're talking about raising the kids, and you think, whatever, they should be vegetarian. And I think, you know, they should be eating meat. You know, you can get science that tells you both of those things are going to heal you. And so there is no right or wrong. It's like, what are we going to do? What choices are we going to make? How are we going to? It's really scary to me not to give. I forget which one I am. I'm the meat lover. So, you know, really, I think they're going to be deficient if they don't have it. And how? So it's going to, like, it's. We get in trouble not by having an opinion, but believing ours is correct.
True.
It's correct for me. And in a marriage, here's the thing with something as big as that. I see it all the time. I'm sure you do too. It's like, are you going to be stay married? Like, this is a, you know, the tough thing. Resolving conflict doesn't necessarily, in my opinion, mean we stay together. It means we have respect and care and curiosity with each other. And if we can't get there married, you know, maybe we're going to be resigned for one reason or another. It meets other needs, maybe safety, maybe security, maybe belonging for my kids. So I'm going to stay with you, but I would make new agreements. I would make new agreements. And if we really are, have many of those things, meta, big picture issues that we do not agree on, it's, but we already have kids. So, so one of the ways is before you get married, ask these big questions, you know, like, how are we going to raise the kids? What, are, you know, let's say we're culturally different. Yeah. You know, people are culturally different who, and it, sometimes it's hard to understand how you might feel about something versus how I'm in, with someone who's 25 years, we're together 25 years. We're both, I don't know if we're culturally the same, but it took us years to kind of get, like, I came up in a family where I could kind of have a fight with my dad, right? So I could yell and do stuff, and at some point, you know, when I was four, he would just end it by declaring himself the winner, like, you're wrong, and, you know, no harm, no foul. But he didn't care if we were yelling. I think he liked the zestiness of that. I mean, I would go to bed without vegetables, I mean, without dessert, but my partner was never, he couldn't even think a bad thought. Mm. And so, it, you know, so me speaking up and yelling and doing all, fighting, and it was like all going to be okay, was not true for him. But I couldn't understand it. And yeah, he couldn't understand how I could just yell all the time.
So. But don't you agree that a lot of times, especially in marriage, when you both feel a certain way, and if you do not come to a conclusion or an agreement, it's really all about compromising. You have to compromise the issue. Okay, you're not wrong, I'm not wrong, but we do need to agree that this is what needs to happen, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of short-term agreements, especially, you know, and again, you know, depending what it is, but it's like, and yeah, if we want to stay together and feel happy, mm-hmm. we want to make sure we are agreeing on stuff, because some people say yes when they mean no, and then they resent you for it. Okay. So it's complicated, and it's like, don't say yes if you mean no. Like, oh, are we going to, you know, feed our kids, make our kids vegan? Yes. And then I take them out and I meant no, because now I'm taking them out when you're not with me and buying them a burger.
Right. Right.
And it's like, now it's going to be bad. Or if I, you know, So that can be any topic. It doesn't, I mean, sometimes the food thing is really rough because they're deeply held beliefs. But we both, here's the thing we agree on. We want our children to be well. So that's the need. We want our children to be well. So if I think they can be well by eating meat, it's like my short-term agreement is, let's try it for 3 months. Let's see how they are. Then we'll try the vegetarian one. Let's see how they are. And let's just keep doing that for, you know, or like lactose. I was working with this couple who are now separated, and, you know, one of the children was lactose intolerant, and the other one parent knew it, and the other parent wouldn't believe it. And so every time the kid would come home from visiting, they'd have a stomachache. And, you know, I don't know how to get over that stuff. It's rough because, you know, they disagree and they're already not married. They already broke up because of those kinds of things. So it's how do you navigate your own feelings? If I'm wanting respect in a relationship, is what I say, am I bringing respect into a relationship, or am I cursing out my partner?
Right. Right. That is
so it's little nuanced things.
I do agree. Have you ever experienced a client who was agitated and frustrated at the same time? And how did you turn this situation into a positive outcome? And I'm asking you these questions because we do similar work. So it's interesting how you may have something that I don't have.
It literally just happened.
Okay.
I mean, literally last week. And I this morning wrote an email. You know, we've been working together for a year. It's been basically lovely. They've been much more connected than they were. I don't know if you can hear that, but it's windy. My tree is hitting the window. So if you can hear it. I was like, is someone screaming out there? So they've been doing really well. I'm really celebrating, you know, getting over some old hurts and really finding connection. This last time was last Tuesday. And one of the people was just like agitated and mad at me and mad at her. And, you know, had this way of telling us again what he thought was the truth. And, you know, he was saying things to me, and I'm getting paid for this work. And so, you know, I tried to find my way with him, you know, like, it's like, you're not hearing me. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get quiet. Or you're not hearing me. I'm like, whatever you ask me for, I'm going to say yes. You know, like really trying. And it really, in the end, the call just ended and it was incredibly unpleasant for me as someone who wants to make a difference. And so I let it, you know, like I just let it go. It was the best I could do. I stayed on the call with her for a long time because she's in tears. He's like, you know, just really just not having it this day. And so today, not quite a week later, I checked in via email. These are the words you said to me, you know, that you're not listening and you're not hearing me. And I'm just writing, listen, I'd love to know how I could have done it differently. And this is something any couple could do. We can do it in our work. It's something I advise everyone. If we're not in the right wrong story, I'm into curiosity, then I can talk about anything. And so, and I also encourage people to speak from a place of how they contributed to the distress, even if I don't think I did. Right? Often we do. And so that inner exploration of like, okay, so that was my question. How did I contribute to what you were feeling? I regret, you know, that whatever I said seemed like I wasn't listening or I didn't care, or I wasn't curious, or I wasn't hearing you. Can you tell me more about that? Now, personally, I think I was listening. And that they were just having a really rough day and sort of fell back to old patterns. But there's two of us. So I'm doing something. I'm saying something. And it may be that, again, in a marriage more likely than in our work, but even in our work, my tone of voice, just it could have been anything. So I'm willing, because I don't think I do, I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm really, I think I'm like you do. I think I'm pretty good at what I do. Mm-hmm. So I just said, is there a way that I could have done, will you hop on a call with me? Tell me what you would have, if you would have asked me for something, what would it be? And so really owning that I've contributed to this, no blame, I know right, wrong, just what was happening for you and how could I have been different? So I might say I really regret the impact of how I was on us, on our relationship. Can you tell me more about that? Now, to some people might hear that as right, wrong. And I absolutely think that you can't really do this kind of deep, intimate exploration if you are steeped in right, wrong. It can only be if I'm curious and really want to, you know, what needs did it mean? I want to meet, you know, I want to be of service to you. I want to be helpful. And if how I listen and how I invite shift was painful, I want to know it. I want to know it. Then we can talk it through. And maybe they'll own, you know what? I was having just a bad day. Everything everybody was doing was wrong. And that's ultimately the response that I got back. I was having a bad day. I fell into old habits. I'm rereading the book that you suggested. And I'm like, you know, and we'll talk about it next time. And I'm like, okay, I can sit with that until next week.
Very good. Okay. I like that. My next question is, we all have weaknesses when sharing our passion and focus, as you know, because what we do, sometimes people take it and take advantage of it. And experiences with others, mine is finding it challenging to say no to additional requests. That is my weakness.
Yeah, it's a toughie. You know, I think we go into the helping profession. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, I'll talk to you. I just had a workshop on Saturday and someone wanted to continue. She had a question about one of the things I said. And I'm like, okay, let's stay for 15 minutes. And everybody else left, you know, 2 hours later. Like, I got to stop talking. And so.
Yeah. Right.
This is what I'll say. We often in our work, and probably a lot of people around you, maybe not, I don't know, we talk about boundaries. It's a big buzzword right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And I prefer to think of it as limits, because I can set a boundary. Hey, Pamela, please don't call me. You know, if you're going to call me, let's say we're good friends. And it's like, if you're going to call me and ask for stuff, you know, ask for a session or whatever, you know, don't call after 9. And then you do. You call me after 9 regularly. You know, it's like, oh, I just have a quick question and
30.
And it's like, well, I can stay mad at you and say, listen, you keep crossing my boundaries. But I can also, my limit is it's up to me again to meet my needs. So when it's 9:30 and the phone rings and your name comes up, I'm just not going to answer it if I don't want to talk.
Right.
You may not agree with my boundary and you're not required to. It's like, hey, I'm a late night girl. I like talking at night and, you know, I get up at 6 a.m. and so it's really up to me, and I think that's one of the ways that we can get out of saying yes. And I have another story, and this is a little crazy, and it's probably going to sound a little crazy, but I was like a yes for anything. If someone asked me for something, I was a yes before I knew it. And I really wanted to be a little bit more responsible with my yeses and my nos, because sometimes I didn't want to do the thing I was doing, I discovered. And so to break myself of the habit, because if we understand how we're wired, it feels unsafe. It feels scary to say no for all kinds of reasons, because I'm going to lose my pack because of my sense of belonging. I'm not going to be able to contribute. And as pack animals, we want to just say yes to everything. So I made an agreement with myself that no matter what anybody asked me for, I said, I'm taking 3 days to answer this question. And I mean anything.
Absolutely.
With a glass of water or pass the salt. It's like, if you want the salt today, you're going to have to get it yourself, because I am taking 3 days. No matter what, it's just, it had to be ridiculous, but it broke me out of the habit.
Absolutely.
Even though, because the big ones, I got to think, do I want to say yes, or why am I even considering saying yes?
Yes, that's what I have.
That's how I did it. I just said, no, I didn't say no. I just said, if you want it today, I'm not your girl. I'm taking 3 days. I know there's a water cooler here, and I could just reach and get you the water, but, I'm trying to break a habit.
I do agree. I have visited your website. Tell me about your workshop classes that are offered, such as that stood out for me was the New Moon Intention Circles.
I thought that was so sweet. I run
But wait a minute. What can someone achieve from this particular lesson?
Well, I do intention circles weekly, whether it's the new moon or not. And so it's a process that I've kind of come together from a bunch of mentors of mine, Joe Dispenza and the McTaggart and some other people.
Okay.
The new moon, it was just like an addition. The new moon is a time where things... energetically get started every month. It's like a new moon. And so I thought, that might be fun to do it on the new moon each time, because we're energetically primed to make a shift in our life. And so it was, the idea was that we would get together and do the intentions. And I don't know if you want to know exactly what the process is. I'm happy to share, but
let's share.
It's, it would just, the way that we would do it is you say your intentions as if it happened. So let's say I want a job, and it's like, so what I might share in any intention circle, including the new moon, is, I'm coming home from my job at Penn, and it went really, really well. My boss really loves me. I love the work. I can work from home or not. Like, so you say the dream as if it already happened, right? So it's not like I'm going to get the new job. It's like I'm leaving there. It's so exciting. I have enough money. I can take Uber. I'm getting paid phenomenally. Often in an intention circle, you say the amount. I'm making $10,000 a day, but whatever. It's believable, not fantasy, intention, right?
Right. Okay.
I have this amazing job. I just love coming home from it. Everybody's happy with me. And then in the intention circle, the other people repeat back exactly what you said. And so it's like, oh, I'm hearing you're so excited about this job and coming home, and everybody thinks you're really good at what you do and you're really feeling satisfied and it's work you love. And that's how it goes. The new moon is just earth connection, that's all.
Wow. Tell me about the mediumship and astral workshop.
Oh, well, that's a whole nother, it's not a
All
workshop, it's coaching, but it's something that it's a gift that I have. I have never put out publicly. I put it up on my website. I rarely ever talk about it to anyone because it's not in the communication thing. But I would say in the past couple years, like most of my people have passed, and our culture here in Western, my culture anyway, we don't have an answer. We don't respect, the people who have passed are kind of past. And in other cultures, their ancestors travel with them. And they're not, yes, they're not embodied, but they're right there, they're spirit guides. And but I've always been, the mediumship is just, I can talk to people on the other side. And so people hire me to talk to their moms or their grandmothers or, so
Very
that's,
interesting. Very interesting. A whole nother ball game, a whole nother
it's
level.
a whole
I
nother,
love
it
that.
is. It's like, so I just put it up there so people knew it's possible, but it's not mixed in. It is a part of my personal exploration now, something that I'm
That's
really
beautiful and
celebrating.
that's great. Because that's something that, like someone like me that believes in a higher power, I would love that. So that's great to know. So my last one re in regards to that was the daily love letters. What is the purpose of implementing this strategy and what is the outcome?
It's a gratitude practice, and I think that also is pretty sort of out there right now. I don't know, a long history with a gratitude practice, and I have watched it in various kinds. And I have watched magic happen when you change the focus of your attention, in any given moment. I think people misunderstand it because, if I get a parking ticket, it's not about being happy that I got the parking ticket. It's about, I got that. And in the same minute that I got the parking ticket, there's 400 things. I'm alive. I have food. I have a roof over my head. I have a beautiful garden. I'm safe. I have a partner that I love, good friends. All those things are happening simultaneously, right? And so I am whatever, 99% convinced that a gratitude practice changes what you see. So you're looking for what's right. We have a thing called a negativity bias because humans have descended from tens of thousands of years from people who noticed what was wrong, got scared, and did something, right? If I'm outside 10,000 years ago, and I'm just like, what was that noise? I'm leaving. And the other person is, oh no, the clouds are beautiful. Well, they got eaten by the lion, so they did not have children. So we have descended. And so we tend to look for what's wrong, which is fine. But in relationship, it's painful. And
Right,
so,
sure.
and I also think that the, so I decided in February, which was, it's another Earth holiday that's eluding me right now, but so I just decided that every day I'm going to write one love letter to anything, to my hair, to my knees, to my house, anything at all. And what did happen, you said what happened, is I would wake up every day. I couldn't write enough love letters because I'm looking, I started a practice and I'm, well, what do I want to thank today?
Gratitude. Good. Yeah, I like
So it's
that.
been magical. It's literally my perception is not like, ugh, another rot, the weather stinks. It's like, well, what can I like today? And so I've been writing them every day on my website, and people can join in the comments. You know, what are they grateful for today? Not what are they, I'm not saying everything in my life is perfect, but I can be grateful for, I am grateful. And it changes our perspective. Like, not virtually, but figuratively, literally.
Absolutely. Changing that negative mindset into a more positive one. Because, you know, when we get out of bed and everything, just certain things from the day before that had went wrong, and you can carry it. And I like the love letter. So that's good to know. That's why I wanted to ask you about
Thank
that.
Thank you. It's been really one of the most fun. I just started it, and it's really fun.
Absolutely. I am also inspired by your passion, Dr. Lewine. You have worked with various organizations, including Drexel University, Girls Rock Philly, Sustainable Business Network, and the Reiki School and Clinic to develop communication strategies and decision-making practices. Just tell me a little bit about that journey, because I thought that was really, really good. And some of the organizations that you have worked with and everything was really needed.
Yeah, you know, that's really fun when people, you know, some people I know really well and they've done a workshop, so they want it in their business. Some people just know the work and they find somebody close by who knows it. And, you know, I'm that person who I love what I do. And so when somebody asks, I'm going to make it happen. And I think Drexel got started with somebody who took a workshop, I mean, so many years ago. And, you know, so
trickle down effect.
A variety of ways, like lunchtime learnings. And then I just did one for people from all over the world traveling there. And they just did a section on communicate. How do you communicate with people who typically it's been really hard? I mean, the person who developed this work that I do, I mean, he would work with groups of countries where they couldn't go to the other country. They would have to go to a third place to do the work they did because they were in danger. You know, there's a lot of conflict right now out there in the world.
Yeah, it is. Yes, yes.
And so part of my sadness about what's happening in the world is not, you know, like, we don't have to agree politically or any other kind of way, but we've lost our capacity to dialogue. And that, to me, it's like, you get to think whatever you want. Don't hate me for what I, you know, like, how do we talk to each other in a way that it's like, again, getting curious, like, we might want the same thing, like safety in our world or...
Yeah.
And I just, you know, we might not, it's very hard sometimes to understand how you could think that's going to make us safe when I totally think that's going to make us safe. Yeah. But if we can at least talk about it, I don't want to lose my friends for political beliefs or, you know, medical, you know what's been happening lately.
Oh, and yes. So,
It's people are losing their people. They're losing their families. They're losing marriages. And it's just like, I can love you anyway.
Yeah.
And we often just, you know, so this is the opposite of, you know, don't cross that line. If you like that person, you don't like me. And I'm not going to tell or talk to you about it. And it's not true. And, you know, there might be like one, I might say one word or, and you think, well, if you can think that, you don't like me or you're not, you know, you don't care about me. And it's like, not true. Ask me a question about it. Ask me, I'll tell you. And then, yes, we might have a struggle, but can we, you know, are there other things we can talk about?
So true. We didn't have a very good conversation. Is there anything else you would like to say before we adjourn our interview?
I'm just, you know, like, I would like to talk to, I would just say, even if we adjourn, I just like you. You're fun. You have a, I'm enjoying your energetic presence with me and, you know, kind of telling me what's true for you. And
yes.
It's like you're listening to me and have some enthusiasm for our work together, and just grateful to have a comrade on this planet who cares about people like I do and really wants to support people and being well and having relationships that can work out. And so, that's what I'm all about, and hopefully I can make it happen most of the time. And when people reach out, and I'm super grateful that you are willing to interview me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I got one question for you before we go. So, when we take on any type of project, right? And we give ourselves 1 month, 2 months, 3 months for this to happen, right? What goals would you like to see accomplished during the first 3 months as a coach?
Well, I've been a coach for years, but, you mean for the client?
Yeah, for the client. Because we do deal with some clients that takes longer to accomplish certain things, to reach that goal, because,
the habits, habits and patterns and history. So some are the very quick things that they can implement. Say, tell me more versus shut up, or get cure, dropping out of blame, dropping out of moralistic judgment, dropping all the shame, really enough self-awareness that they can get curious about who they're with. And so both people. And for people to be willing to, like I said to you earlier, acknowledge how they might have contributed. If they both are willing to do that, then they get to talk about, hey, they get to make requests of each other that serve the relationship. And if I could see that in 3 months.
Very good. I like that. That I do. Well, Dr. Lewine, it has been a pleasure having you on my show. And I did ask, did you have any last minute comments you would like to say? But can you also tell us how someone can contact you about your services and, that you have on your website and everything?
Yeah. Just go to I think the easiest way is either email me, and I'll give you that. The website is www.getbacktolife.org, T-O, life, not the number two. And it's simply Terry at getbacktolife.org. And so either way, you can go on there and explore. I have a blog, and if you sign up for it, my blog has very practical tips, and it's free, and you'll get that in your email. So go on there, explore, and if you don't see what you want, or you do see what you want, email me.
Sounds good. Well, readers, I have reached my destination, and as always, I leave you with this quote. The beautiful thing about learning is that nobody can what? Take it away. Until next time, do have a beautiful day. God bless this world. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.